It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Well, we got 4 votes here.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much.
Ohio State Senator Troy Balderson is running in a race that should be a cakewalk for a Republican. The last time a Democrat won this district was in 1980, and President Trump won it by double digits.
We won by a lot, but I'm thrilled to be back.
That's why President Trump came here on Saturday, to encourage his supporters that a vote for Balderson is a vote for his agenda.
If you want to have a border, if you want to stop the radical Pelosi and Waters agenda, there's only one choice in this election. That's vote for Troy Balderson.
I need your volunteer hours, your enthusiasm, and most importantly, I need your vote August 7th.
But not all Republicans are convinced that the president's support is a good thing, including the state's own governor.
Well, the chaos that seems to surround Donald Trump has unnerved a lot of people. So the suburban women in particular here are the ones that are really turned off.
And those suburban women who live just outside Columbus are exactly who Balderson's opponent, Democrat Danny O'Connor, is trying to target in ads featuring his mom's battle with breast cancer and her access to a new drug.
When I think of families and moms like my mom who don't have that access, it ticks me off.
He's also trying to distance himself from House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi.
We need new leadership on the Democratic side of things, too. We need a new generation of leadership.
But at Saturday's rally, President Trump continued to try to tie him to the current Democratic leadership.
You see Pelosi, who, by the way, again, controls Danny O'Connor, whoever that is.
He's the county's recorder, and if he wins, he'll be the youngest member of Congress. It would be an epic upset heading into the midterms.
There's no question about it that this will be a referendum on the president.
Are you at all concerned that President Trump's support might hurt you with some key constituencies like white suburban women?
I think President Trump's economic agenda is my number one focus.
So you're not at all concerned that his coming here last night could hurt you?
No, no concern at all.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. That was Kristen Fisher last night on Fox. And, of course, she's talking about the special election today in Ohio's 12th district between challenger Danny O'Connor and Troy Balderson, trying to replace a retiring Republican. It's a stronghold Republican seat, but it sounds like from the polls, Danny O'Connor has been running neck and neck lately with Troy Balderson. That's why the president went to the 12th district campaigning for Troy just a few days ago. Sandy Rios with you. Happy to be. It is election day. It is primary election today in several states. They are Kansas, Missouri, Michigan, and Washington State. Now, let me just say that special election in Ohio's for that one district. And you know, that's a case where a handful of votes can win the election. It's not only it's not a broad primary in the state of Ohio that's already taken place. This is a special election. So those of you in the 12th district need to step up your game and go out there and vote. I want you to know that there is a website that was established, I think, a dozen years ago called Act Blue. You've probably heard of it. We've talked about it. They have raised, they surged past the billion mark for this cycle, contributions to Democratic candidates. That's for this election cycle only. That's like $10, $20, $25. That's average citizens, average leftists, those people marching in the street, screaming at other people. You know, they're giving their money. I'm wondering, you know, are you giving your money to any candidates? Are you calling? Are you getting out there? Are you telling your friends? Because you have to. If you don't, things are going to turn very badly for people who love this country. Just saying. So that's the story on, Act Blue. We don't have anything like that in the conservative movement. We don't have anything like that. And I think conservatives are, they give generously to a lot of things, but not necessarily politics. And I'd like to see that change. I don't think I would recommend, not now anyway, I would not recommend giving to a party, but I would recommend giving to a person that you believe is the best candidate. Giving your money as much as you can to help them. And not only just your money, but making phone calls for them. Walking up and down the streets, handing out literature. It's time to step up. It's time to step up. Let me just say that in Kansas, interesting thing happened, and I have to tell you, this encouraged me this morning. Chris Kobach has been the Secretary of State in Kansas. He is just, for many of us, a real champion. He was, remember the voter commission that I talked to with you about with the Christian Adams last week, and Hans von Spakovsky was part of it also. It was a voter integrity committee that the president established right after his election, and the left came after them so viciously they had to disband. Well, Chris Kobach was on that because Chris, as Secretary of State in Kansas, tried to, you know, beef up the voter rolls. In other words, bring integrity to the voter rolls. He wanted people to provide proof of citizenship and all kinds of stuff. Plus, he's very good on the border and immigration. He, you know, for some, he's, you know, just too tough, but the president really likes him. So the president's aide said, oh, you shouldn't be endorsing him. It's just too, you know how this goes. I've told you, he's got people around him who are not conservative at all. And the president just ignored them and endorsed Chris Kobach. So Chris is running for governor of Kansas. I don't know what that's going to, you know, Kansas is not certainly necessarily a red state. It kind of, I don't know if it's classified as purple. I don't know, but Chris Kobach is running for governor, so we'll see what happens. That's happening today. In Missouri, there's an important primary for the Senate race. You know, Claire McCaskill is the incumbent, but Josh Hawley is the Republican running in the primary today for Republicans, and he is the favorite of the Senate Conservatives Fund. So that's an interesting situation. And in Michigan, of course, lots of things unfolding. In fact, in just a few minutes, Phil Haney, who's been campaigning in Michigan for the last several weeks, is going to be joining us to talk to us about what's happening in Michigan. But I want to give you some other, I want to give you a cross-section of things that are happening in the country. There are some incredible candidates running. One of them is a girl named Elizabeth Hung. She is from Cambodia. And you know what? I hope at some point to have Elizabeth on as a guest. Elizabeth is running as a Republican from one of the poorest areas of Northern California. Elizabeth Hung is her name. She put an ad on Facebook, which I want you to hear at least the first part of it. I was in Cambodia probably, I don't know, I lose track of time, maybe 12 years ago. Just the most moving, you cannot even believe how the Cambodians suffered under the Khmer Rouge. That is the red Cambodians, the communist Cambodians. I could spend the whole show talking to you about that. I don't want to. But Elizabeth tells her story in this video. Let's listen.
In Cambodia, under Pol Pot's Khmer Rouge, being young and single often meant a gruesome life and likely death. They approached my father, and in order to save his life, he said he was about to be married. They asked him, to whom? He pointed to the prettiest girl that he saw, having never spoken to her before. The soldiers approached her, and she said yes. They got married the very next day. 41 years later, they're still the happiest couple I know. Great things can come from great adversity.
All right, there's a lot more to the ad, and I hope that we can play more of it later, but that I just wanted you to get a taste of it. She works as an aide to Ed Royce. She's been working in his office for several years. She's a graduate of an Ivy League. I'm not sure if it's Harvard. She's got incredible qualifications, and the ad goes on to talk about what she's done with her life. She's only 33, what she's done with her life compared to the incumbent. And it's just the most compelling ad. But now here's the story. Would you believe that Facebook has removed her ad? Facebook has censored and removed her ad. This is the message she got. Your ad wasn't approved because it doesn't follow our advertising policies. We don't allow ads that contain shocking, disrespectful, or sensational content, including ads that depict violence or threats of violence. We suggest removing this type of content from your ad and are using a different image or video. So her ads are being removed. This is what's happening to conservative candidates all across the place. I should skip to this. There's an article by Gateway Pundit today. It's entitled, Are Tech Giants Working Together to Censor Conservatives? Apple, YouTube, and Facebook ban InfoWars in the same day. Oh, InfoWars is a different story. Nevertheless, they've been permanently banned from these sites. Elizabeth Heng's article, video has been banned. I could go on and on. I could honestly, again, spend the entire show. But let me just run this by you. Gateway Pundit found that the traffic analysis that Facebook has eliminated 93% of traffic to top conservative websites. That includes ours, by the way. Twitter is shadow banning and censoring conservative lawmakers and conservative publishers. Wikipedia is controlled by far-left editors who are regularly accused of liberal bias. In other words, they handle what goes in on your bio. They leave out the good stuff and they put in the worst stuff. And they don't even care if it's true. I know that for a fact. YouTube is shutting down conservative pages and demonetizing several others. A Gateway Pundit June study of top conservative news outlets found that Facebook has eliminated 93% of traffic to top conservative websites, as I said earlier. Facebook began eliminating conservative content after the 2016 election. This sets a chilling precedent for free speech. I could go on and on. One person said this. It makes you wonder if these tech giants are working together to throttle conservative content online and who is behind the scene pulling the strings. And someone says, the great censorship purge has truly begun. And remember, you're next. And I believe that's true. We need to spend a whole show on that, and we will. But I want to give you some other good news. There's another immigrant who's an actor. His name is Antonio Sabato, and he is running also in California as a Republican. He says he supports Trump's wall, and he's an immigrant from Mexico, I believe from Mexico. He's running in California's 26th congressional district, and he has a compelling message also. I have to make a choice here. In regard to Facebook, yesterday something really incredible happened. Charlie Kirk, who runs Turning Point USA, and Candace Owens, who works with him. Candace is a black conservative female. She's very articulate. She's never joined me on the show, but she's going to. Charlie's also a friend. They were in, in Pittsburgh or Philadelphia. And they were just going to breakfast together, and a group of Antifa activists started following them. And I want you to hear what it sounded like. Let's listen.
We love you.
You know, what you have to, that's the end, Antifa harassing them, blowing whistles, loud horns right in their faces, screaming. They followed them into the restaurant. They had dumped a drink all over him. You can see it in a video. Now, what happened to those videos? They were removed from Facebook. Can you see that we are at war? And I want to say one more thing. Do you realize that all of those children, those spoiled brat adult children screaming and blowing whistles are registered to vote? They're marching. They're trying to undermine because they're just spoiled and they don't understand. They don't even know what they don't know. They're going to be voting. How about you? How about you? Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
When our health insurance renewal notice arrived last fall, my wife and I made the decision to drop our plan. With the monthly premiums and deductible, we'd have to pay $30,000 just to use it. So we did our homework and switched to MediShare. The cost savings are incredible, over $500 a month, and we don't have to pay for services we don't need or don't agree with. Then, out of the blue, she had to have emergency surgery. Scary stuff. $150,000 in hospital bills, and MediShare members took care of everything. All we paid was our small portion. I'm a doctor who's been in healthcare for 20 years, and this is one of the most impressive programs I've ever seen. Thank God she's fully recovered, and now we're telling everyone about MediShare.
Call 855-PSALM-23 to find out how much you can save on your healthcare. MediShare. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
It's Truth for Youth Bible Week, and this year, every Bible comes with an Engage magazine bookmark and a number 6 wristband reminding kids, you shall not kill.
And I woke up one morning and I told myself that if nobody told me that they loved me that day, then I was just going to kill myself. That day at school, a girl that I didn't know came rushing over to my locker and she handed me a Truth for Youth Bible and she said, hey, Jesus loves you, you should read this.
American Family Radio, Engage Magazine, and Revival Fires International are partnering to give God's Word to our nation's youth. Parents, order a free Truth for Youth Bible for your teen to pass on to a friend. Or teens, you can order a Bible for a friend. Visit truthforyouth.com or call 800-733-4737 between 8 and 4:30 Central Time. That's 800-733-4737.
And there was a page in Truth for Youth that showed me how to give my heart to Jesus. I just prayed and Jesus forgave me of my sins.
Visit truthforyouth.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
So my name is Atara. I'm a senior and my major is psychology. I love Truett. Maybe a lot of other schools out there. You can go to bigger schools. You can go to schools that's way far away from home. But in the end, one of the things that I realized is that God called me here, and that's why Truett is the perfect place for me. And if God called you here, then it's the perfect place for you also.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
I do not know Alex Jones, never met the guy, do not read InfoWars, not my cup of tea, but I will defend their right to broadcast and to publish. The other day, Facebook, YouTube, and Apple removed InfoWars and the Alex Jones Show from a number of their digital platforms. Big tech justified the censorship by citing hate speech violations. I am entirely convinced that big tech has declared war on conservatives, and I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that Facebook and Twitter are intentionally targeting users based on their politics and their religious beliefs. I know that because it happened to me. More than 250,000 of you follow me on Facebook, but barely 2,000 are actually able to see my content. And about a month ago, my engagement numbers on Twitter dropped by nearly 70%. I was shadow banned. Big tech, ladies and gentlemen, has become Big Brother. I'm Todd Stearns.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you, and I believe I've said already, but I will repeat, today is a primary in Kansas, Missouri, Michigan, and Washington State. Let me just say we have a lot of listeners in Washington State who've emailed also concerned about what's going on, trying to figure out who to vote for. And as I've said before, I will repeat, remember as Christian voters, and I'm speaking to you right now, you're not voting for a deacon, you're not voting for a pastor. So even though you want your candidate to have the highest moral values possible to reflect yours, you don't always have that choice. You also cannot evaluate based on just their values if they're completely unelectable. They have no money, nobody knows who they are, or they're not good leaders. Or maybe they say the right thing, but they don't do the right thing. You know, it takes a ton of discernment. But you need to vote for the people that, as best you can see, really will do what they say. And what they say is something that you believe is right, that they have integrity. I would always look for the outsider candidate. I would look to see who's endorsing them. That tells you more about them than almost anything. Who's against them? That also tells you almost more about them than anything. Those are the kind of clues that I look for when I'm trying to decide who to support. So, and in some cases, even that is not. It's an inexact science. You've got some candidates, I would say, even some might say in the field in Ohio's 12th district that we talked about earlier, where the president's been working for the candidate over there. Let's see the names. Let's see what it's Troy Balderson, 12th district. Troy Balderson is handpicked by, you know, the governor. And the governor, of course, is no friend to the president. And I would say that probably Troy Balderson's not a rock rib conservative. I don't know, but I just don't think so. I don't think he's a rock rib Trump supporter either. But you have to consider then, if you're a Republican and if you are a conservative, do you want the House of Representatives to be flipped to the hands of the Democrats under Nancy Pelosi? Those are the kinds of things, you see. It takes wisdom beyond wisdom and discernment. And you know what? You have access. Those of you that are followers of Christ, you have access to the greatest discernment possible. So I would just ask you to be very discerning and then share with your friends. And as I said before, in these primaries, if you would work together with friends, you could actually win these primaries with not very many votes. It's amazing because not a lot of people don't come out, especially like in the 12th in Ohio. So that's the best quick instruction I can give you on how to handle today's primaries. We'll be talking about others that are coming up, Connecticut, Vermont. I understand there may be a Senate upset in Vermont, someone was telling me. We'll talk about that. Maine, Alaska, Wyoming, Arizona, and Florida. Those are all coming up this month. Well, joining me today is Phil Haney. Phil has been in Michigan for the last several weeks, campaigning, working, trying to help inform Michigan voters on what's happening, especially in the governor's race. Phil is the author of See Something, Say Nothing. He's a former, one of the original employees of the Department of Homeland Security, and he became a whistleblower because of his knowledge about the Muslim Brotherhood, the infiltration of Islam, Islamic teaching into American culture, even on the conservative side. He ran afoul of leadership when President Obama came to power. So Phil has a lot of passion and a lot of experience, and he joins us this morning. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Now, Phil, are you primarily covering the governor's race? Are there other races you could talk about also?
Mainly focus on the governor's race because of the candidate who's connected to the Muslim Brotherhood.
All right. Let me just kind of lay out just for a second what I do know, and then you can tell me what you know because you know a lot more. On the Republican side, there are four candidates in this primary. There's Brian Kelly, Patrick Kolbeck, Jim Hines, and Bill Schuette. My understanding is that Patrick Kolbeck and Bill Schuette are the most conservative. Do you know anything about that, Phil?
Yes, I know that Patrick Kolbeck is the only one that actually signed a pledge circulated among Tea Party and Republican groups to uphold the Constitution. And by the way, you were speaking earlier about how to discern who to vote for. And that's exactly what I've been encouraging people here, not only in Michigan, but all across the country. I've been on the road for more than 2 years, and I watched the undercurrent before the presidential election, and now I'm seeing it again in the primaries. And I talk a lot about the Constitution and sovereignty, the right to choose the form of government that we live under without it being imposed or forced upon us. And that's an element to consider when you're trying to decide who to vote for, who is going to stand up for the Constitution. And here in Michigan, on the Republican side of the equation, the one that's been most open about that and clear is Patrick Kolbeck. The others are, of course, in the Republican Party, but they did not sign the pledge that was circulated around.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. That's interesting information, Phil. Let's talk about the Democrats. There are three. There's Gretchen Whitmer, I think her name is, or Whitman. And then there's Shree. What is it?
Whitmer. Gretchen Whitmer.
Whitmer. Okay. And Sri Thanadar, who is probably Sri Lankan, I'm guessing, something like that. And then the one that you have been following most closely, and I guess I'm assuming he's in the lead, that's Abdul El Sayed. Tell us about, is it true that he's in the lead on the Democratic side?
Yes, he's running for governor on the Democratic ticket for the primary. And he, let's start out with the fact that he was vice president of the Muslim Students Association at U of N, University of Michigan. The Muslim Students Association is the very first Muslim Brotherhood front group that was established in the United States in the middle 60s. And also, he was endorsed publicly at the Islamic Society of North America convention last year in Chicago by Linda Sarsour, who we've heard a lot about lately because of the Women's March and her participation in protests to abolish ICE. She's also the face of the Islamic Society of North America. Meanwhile, his father-in-law is closely affiliated. He's an officer in the Council American Islamic Relations, or CARE. So now we have three direct points of contact with Muslim Brotherhood front groups that Mr. Syed has been involved with since he was young. And on top of that, primary donors, I mean large-scale donors, are affiliates of either CARE or ISNA or the Muslim American Society or other Muslim Brotherhood-linked groups. So there's plenty of evidence of the connection, and people might wonder, well, why is that even important? It's because they were established more than 10 years, or almost 10 years ago, have irrefutable ties to financial support of Hamas, a globally designated terrorist organization that was proven in federal court in Dallas in November of 2008 by the Department of Justice.
Phil, let me interrupt you just for a second. I wish I had thought to pull audio of El Syed. He is a doctor. He is articulate. He's funny, engaging. I think his announcement when he was going to run, as his wife stood by him. I think she wears the full burqa, doesn't she? Or something short of it.
She wears a hijab, not necessarily a full burqa.
Yeah. Okay, so, but he's got qualifications that go page after page. It's like he's the perfect candidate on paper. And he talks about his love for the country. You've been at some of his rallies, Phil. What kind of enthusiasm is there for his candidacy?
Well, I've been to three of his rallies, one in Ypsilanti, one in Dearborn, and one in downtown Detroit, with Alejandra Ocasio-Cortez from New York, who supports him, Bernie Sanders, who also supports him. And the cross-section of some of the audiences is about age 25. The Get Out the Vote event that was in Dearborn was mostly people from the Muslim community, but it was not a very large crowd. And then the one with Bernie Sanders, I watched carefully the whole time I was there. The room was never more than three-quarters full, and most of the time it was about half full. So he has support. He's been running behind in the polls. I try to be careful not to pay too much attention to the polls. So today's the day, and we'll find out whether the people in the primary will turn out to vote for him or Gretchen Whitmer, or his name is Shree, one of the three candidates. But I found out that among the Muslim community, the average turnout is about 13%.
So 15%?
13%.
13%.
They're going to have to really, you know, double and triple their normal turnout. Otherwise, Abdul El-Sayed is going to have to take a lot of votes out of the pool that would otherwise go to the other candidates. So it's going to be interesting to see how it unfolds today.
But Phil, I think, wouldn't you agree that even if he does not prevail in this primary, it is significant to have a Muslim who is so openly affiliated with the Muslim Brotherhood, who has been declared, as you know, as you probably said, a terrorist organization by other countries around the world, chiefly, I think, of Egypt. But the United States has hesitated to do that because we wouldn't want to offend our Muslim Brotherhood infiltrators in the Republican Party. That's the way I see it. And so it's pretty significant that he's made it to this point. And I also, as you have been in Michigan now for the last several weeks, how would you describe the state of Michigan in regard to its personal influenced by Islam, Muslims, the Muslim Brotherhood. What are you seeing in Michigan?
Well, the center of gravity for the Muslim community in Michigan is in southeast area, Dearborn, Hamtramck, Detroit. I spent a lot of time there, and you know my background is in law enforcement, so I look for indicators, and I saw plenty of indicators. I was actually able to put a case together, if that would be the right way to describe it, of a Hawala money moving network right in Hamtramck, and I actually went to the Oakland County Sheriff's and sat down with them and laid the case out on the table the same way that I used to do it when I was still active duty. And they seemed to have a difficulty grasping what I was talking about and said that it would be need to be proven. Well, of course it would need to be proven. That's why I came to share it with you. So there are indicators. The Muslim Brotherhood has a strong presence in Michigan through CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. They're very active everywhere you turn, in the media and in different arenas, the social arena, the political arena, and the law enforcement. CARE is already there. And so they have a strong presence in the state of Michigan. Across the rest of the state, there's a strong undercurrent of, I'll call it, patriotic conservatives who really do want to keep their state as it has been, you know, for decades, a conservative state. And we saw that tension with the last election with President Trump. It was split right down the middle. 2.5 million voted for him. 2.5 million voted for Hillary Clinton. But the average turnout in the primary in Michigan is only 20% total. And so it's going to be a pool of about 500,000 voters on each side that's going to decide the primary today.
Let me just say that Phil and others in Michigan have compiled a documentary. It's Expose Abdul El-Sayed Marxist Jihad in Michigan. It's a must-watch. We're going to put this on our Facebook page so that you can see it and share it. Phil, we only have a couple of minutes left, and we did not mention the Marxist Jihad. What do you mean by Marxist Jihad?
Well, Bernie Sanders is an extreme leftist, and he's being supported by the Democratic Socialists of America openly. And he talks about sanctuary cities, abolishing ICE, no walls, no borders, the very same platforms that you hear these national protest movements virtually every day in the news now. If your listeners watch the video, I'd like to pay attention to the young man with the Palestinian flag, because behind that story is a big argument that I listened to on the floor. They were very upset that that young man had the Palestinian flag because they don't want Abdul El-Sayed to be affiliated with the Palestinian issue or the BDS movement, the boycott, divestment movement that's very strong in America today. So it was really interesting to see him wave the flag and how upset they got, and then capture him in the interview after the event was over. So it's quite a unique piece of footage.
And so people can see that and kind of understand more of what Phil is saying. It'll be, how long is the video, Phil?
I think it's something like 25 minutes total, okay. But it goes fast.
Yeah, okay, good. And it will give more background. So we'll put that on our Facebook page so that you can share it today. But there is, of course, a primary today in Michigan. The gubernatorial primary is probably the most crucial. 4 candidates in the Republican side and 3 on the Democratic side. So you have some choices to make, and I hope that you'll make good ones. Phil Haney, thanks for your patriotism, your service to this country, and in this election cycle to the people of Michigan. And we'll talk to you soon, okay, Phil?
Yes, thank you very much, Sandy.
Okay, all righty. Well, Sandy Rios, there's a lot more to say. There's a lot more news today, so I hope that you'll stay tuned, and I kind of think you will. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Why should a fool have money in his hand to buy wisdom when he has no sense? My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. The Medicare for All plan, pushed by Senator Bernie Sanders and endorsed by a host of Democratic congressional and presidential hopefuls, would increase government health care spending by $32.6 trillion over 10 years, according to a study released by George Mason University. In order to pay for this, every American citizen would have to, at a minimum, double what they're already paying in federal income taxes. But let's be frank here. The George Mason University researchers admitted $32.6 trillion was a conservative number. The actual price tag would be much higher.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
The early teenage years can be fraught with drama and angst. And on the next Focus on the Family, we'll talk with Cynthia Tobias, an education expert, about some practical ways to help your child navigate the joys and struggles of middle school. She'll also share ways to approach learning and relationships during the season. That's next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
Who is God? What's He like?
How can we know? Your answer to these questions will impact your worship, discipleship, apologetics, and evangelism. Learn from Ravi Zacharias, Josh McDowell, Chip Ingram, and more than 60 other speakers at Southern Evangelical Seminary's 25th Annual National Conference on Christian Apologetics. It's October 12th and 13th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Homeschool, skeptic, and group discounts are available. Pre-registration ends October 9th at ses.edu.
What if I told you that you could clean your family's laundry and help reach the next generation at the same time? That opportunity is here, through a company called Redeem Clean. Every time you use Redeem Clean products, you help support the ministry of the American Family Association. In addition to your regular AFA giving, Redeem Clean laundry detergent allows you to increase your support of AFA just by continuing to wash your family's clothes. Redeem Clean products work as well as or better than other products on the market. They're environmentally safe, biodegradable, and they're made in the USA. And they were developed exclusively for the support of the American Family Association. For clean laundry and support of a cleaner society, it's Redeem Clean. Learn more, find options, and order Redeem Clean products at afastore.net. That's afastore.net.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. The Iranian people who have for nearly 40 years been compelled to shout death to America are in the streets demanding death to the dictator. Now that they finally have a U.S. president who is on their side, an end to the oppression may be at hand. Donald Trump has gone beyond merely expressing support for the long-suffering people of Iran. At midnight, the president reinstated sanctions that Barack Obama recklessly waived as part of his sellout Obama bomb deal with the mullahs. Mr. Trump has moreover created real costs for the Europeans should they try to ignore our sanctions in order to prop up the Iranian dictatorship. We're told the object of such important policy changes is merely to change the regime's behavior. But the Trump administration's actions seem likely, if not calculated, to help Iranians instead change the regime itself. This is Frank Affney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. You know, today is primary day. Oh, I think I said that already, right? For those of you in Kansas, Michigan, Missouri, and Washington State, heads up. Do your research. Get in there and vote. Tell your friends. Let's make a difference today. You know what I'd like to do is open the phone lines because there are a lot of things happening. It doesn't have to be just those four states, but anything about the elections, the upcoming elections, about the primaries in your state, something you might know, something you've seen, some opinion you might have on a candidate, you are free to share it. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Maybe something you're doing to try to make a difference in this election cycle. That would be good to hear, too. 888-589-8840. You know, there's no doubt there's so much at stake. Do I need to tell you? And I'll just give you another example. You know, a federal judge just in the last few days demanded that, remember that Barack Obama passed this thing called DACA, which is all about the so-called Dreamers. It was an illegal act. I remember very strongly that Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan swore they would turn it back. Oh, well, we're elected, we'll do take care of that. We're going to do away with that. Well, they didn't. They aren't still. And it looks to me like, according to polls, that immigration or illegal immigration is the number one concern of American voters in this during this 2018 cycle. A federal judge just decided and dictated that the president has to fully reinstate DACA. It's been held up in the courts right now. And, of course, the Congress failed to do anything in regard to it, at least so far. So Attorney General Sessions weighed in powerfully yesterday. He says that the judge has effectively eviscerated the legal authority of the executive branch. He strongly suggested that the administration will appeal the ruling. I want to read you just some of his words. He says, the judicial branch has no power to eviscerate the lawful directives of Congress, nor to enjoin the executive branch from enforcing such mandates. The last administration violated its duty to enforce our immigration laws. It ignores the wisdom of our founders and transfers policymaking questions from the constitutionally empowered and politically accountable branches to the judicial branch. That's just a portion of what he said. I just want you to know that a Pakistani national was caught sneaking across the border into Texas just in the last few days. Also, there's an Iraqi refugee who came to the country who is now charged with the attempted murder of a policeman. He was released. He was in ICE custody in 2016, but he was ordered released thanks to a court decision that ruled his previous convictions for assault and a host of other crimes weren't serious enough to deport him. So this is what we're facing, plus the anarchy in Portland with the mayor's blessing. And I'm going to ask Adam to once again put that article from the Wall Street Journal, which was so powerful. It's our anarchy breaks out in Portland with the mayor's blessing. Houston, we've got some problems. All right, so it's a primary day. There are lots of reasons to go out and vote. Let's go to Lynn in Arkansas. Good morning, Lynn.
Hi there. I wanted to know if you know any proven methods to really reach the young conservatives. I know, like, the liberals have MTV and all those kind of things. And just for my grandchildren, something I've done to get them to, because they go to public school, but to understand some of the issues is I've taken a page and just put in the center, even funnies. Sometimes there's like Mallard Fillmore there's some other ones, but they've actually show visually some of the issues. And it's just...
Lynn, what is that you just said? I don't know what you're referring to. Well, that shows some of the issues.
I took different things that I've seen in print and just put one thing in the middle of a page. So it really stands out. That's something I learned at a newspaper kind of thing about marketing and stuff, where you don't have a lot of words or a lot of anything. Just
yes.
One thing in the middle. And I've even seen funnies in the funny paper that that get across a point. And like there's that comic strip, Mallard Fillmore, he's online too, of course, and just things that I don't know, but that's
yeah. So you just said you're just saying get creative. We need to get creative in reaching our kids. I love those ideas. I think that's a great idea for grandkids, and heaven knows our children and our grandchildren, and even in some cases, you parents now of this generation did not have the benefit of a good education, and you have to kind of re-educate yourselves, which you can do, by the way. Lynn, that's a great suggestion. Thank you. Let's go to Michigan and talk to Keith. Good morning, Keith.
Morning. Hey, a couple of things. One is the Michigan governor. I'm from Michigan. Brian Kelly, who currently is the lieutenant governor for Michigan, is a staunch conservative, a Christian man who is very supporting families. So I wanted to point that out. One thing that I'm not really... I really don't know who to pick is for the U.S. Senator is going to be John James or Sandra Pentzler. Both of them are going, either one of them is going to have to go up against Debbie Stabenow, who's been in the state Senate for close to 20 years. So they're going to have a really hard fight. So I'm flip-flopping between John James, who's a military combat veteran, and Sandy Pentzler, who's a Detroit businessman.
Have you seen John James in person?
I've seen YouTube videos, but I haven't met him personally.
Okay, well, no, I meant, you know, well, that's good enough. I mean, so, I was told, I don't know, because I have not. I was told he's really got a great delivery and very compelling. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I agree. He's very staunch on conservative values, immigration laws, pro-life. So that's why I'm leading towards Mr. James.
Yeah, I think a lot of conservatives are, from what I hear. I want to ask you something, though, because, Keith, I don't know anything about this. Honestly, very little. I interviewed Patrick Colbeck. I was very impressed with him. But I don't know much about Brian Kelly and Bill Schuette. I don't know anything about Jim Hines. Bill Schuette, someone told me that he's the attorney general now, that he's a strong conservative, too. Now you're telling me Brian Kelly is. If Brian Kelly is such a strong conservative, this would be my question. Why are other conservatives challenging him? What's the issue? Do you know?
I really don't know him because he's outside of my district. So I really haven't done any research on him.
I thought you said he was the current governor. You mean current lieutenant governor?
Oh, Brian Kelly. I'm sorry. I apologize. I was looking at the Senate and Senate races and everything. Yes, Brian Kelly. Why are so many people going up against him?
Conservatives. Why are conservatives challenging him if he's so conservative?
I really don't understand.
Has he implemented conservative legislation? Has he done things that distinguish him as a powerful, strong conservative? Look, I'm not saying he hasn't. I don't know. I'm just telling you, people talk a good game. Mitch McConnell was going to overdo, you know, he's going to overturn that illegal DACA. He's done nothing. I don't want men like that. Is Brian Kelly a man who does something, or does he just talk?
I think he is a man who is he's a man of action. I think he's going to be somebody who's going to push the conservative viewpoint of trying to get families strong. I homeschool my kids, and he supports with homeschooling. So there's a lot of things that I like about him. But why are so many conservatives going after him?
Challenging him. It makes you think that they don't think he's so conservative. So I don't know, Keith. There's a couple of people from Michigan on, so let me go to them and see if they can fill in the blanks. Thank you very much for your call and for your thoughtful comments. Let's go to, is it Sean?
Yes.
Hi, Sean. So I hear your dog. Who's your dog voting for?
absolutely Patrick Colbeck. I'm sorry, my dog hasn't barked all day, so. Patrick Colbeck, he is outstanding. He's the genuine thing. He's the real deal. He's a solid Christian. He's just the real deal, and he's brilliant. My husband and I have been supporting him all along. My daughter actually started volunteering on his campaign and now works for him because she's so convicted. And let's face it, politics for those who really don't like politics isn't fun, but.
Sean, I'm going to rush you because I want to get, what's wrong with Brian Kelly, Lieutenant Governor?
He hasn't always stood for what is true. He hasn't, for one, he didn't, just what Philip Haney just said. He didn't even sign the Constitution, he didn't uphold the Constitution. To me, that says a lot right there.
Yeah. Okay, so Patrick Colbeck is the guy you think deserves support. Okay, Sean, thank you. Let's go to Mary in Michigan. Mary, what are your thoughts about this governor's race?
We heard Mr. Colbeck last Saturday. I'm very impressed with him. I bought his book, and he dedicated his book to God. But I'll tell you, this man is the real thing. He really is. And I wish I could tell you all the bad things I've heard about John James. That just scares me. But this Mr. Colbeck, he's marvelous.
Now, wait a second.
He's sincere.
What? Where did you hear bad things about John James from?
I guess on the radio. I listen to so many talk shows.
Well, you know who's. look, I don't know. I don't know John James, except that know that anybody can say. People could make you sound like, the Lizzie Borden, the axe murderer, if they didn't like you on the radio.
Oh,
you do know
please,
that.
Please. I handed out cards for Mr. Colbeck. I've talked to people. I'm doing whatever I can. I'm a Christian conservative. Actually, I was a national delegate to the Democratic Convention in 68. I'm in my 80s. No, please don't compare me to anybody else like that.
No, Mary, you didn't understand me. I was teasing. I said anybody could. I didn't know who you heard say bad things about John James. I've heard nothing but good things. And my question was, who did you hear? And you said you heard it on the radio. And I said to you, they could make you, Mary from Michigan, sound like Lizzie Borden if they wanted to on the radio. So you have to really weigh who's saying what it is they're saying. Yeah, you know that. You're a smart girl.
We listen to Christian conservative talk shows, at least Christian or conservative talk shows.
Okay. All right.
But I was very impressed with this man, very impressed with him.
Okay, that's Patrick Colbeck. Okay, Mary, thank you so much. I've got to move on because I'm running out of time, and I want to get in this call. This is Denver from Ohio about the special election today. Denver, what's up?
Not much, Sandy. You did a great job, by the way. I just want to make a point that Governor Kasich, he's been on TV. He actually didn't really get an interview, but he had him talk to him on television how upset he was that President Trump came to the state and endorsed Balderson, and he was basically saying he hated the fact that Trump came to the state and endorsed Balderson, and Balderson said he had nothing to do with this, what he told the governor. But anyway, Kasich he hates Donald Trump. It's amazing his displeasure for him. I think Kasich is going to run for president as a third party candidate. I really believe that. He thinks he has a chance, but he has no chance, in my opinion. And
so Denver,
I've lost a lot of respect for him the last few years.
Oh, I know. I know. Me too. Yep. Actually, are you in the 12th district?
I am not.
Okay.
I'm not.
Well,
I'm close, but not close enough.
Okay. All right. Well, it's all very interesting, isn't it? We'll see what's going to happen today. Thanks a lot, Denver. I appreciate it. Let's go to Scott in Tennessee. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Sandy. Hey, I just wanted to address briefly what you just said about the judicial situation where General Sessions is talking about not having the authority, that judge did not have the authority to stop what the executive branch is trying to do, and it might have to go to appeals. It never should go to appeals. Shouldn't be appealed. Shouldn't have to be appealed. If it's illegal, it should be ignored. That's what the problem is. So many times with these judges, they put these things in. It's not legal for them to do it, but it's treated like it's illegal, and it gives them power. What happens if it loses in the appeal? Then they've won the situation on something that never should have been started in the first place. We've got to stop that situation. It's nonsense.
Yeah, Scott, I don't disagree with you, and I think that we have developed a culture among attorneys and the judiciary where they actually, even conservatives, believe that they have more power than they have. You hear the buzzwords. It's like a precedent and all these things. It's like a whole speak that they do that isn't constitutional. So I do not disagree with you at all. And we need somebody to come in there and sort of set the record straight about the three branches and where their authority stops. So very good point. And of course, another topic for a whole show sometime. Thanks a lot, Scott. I appreciate it. And to all of you today, please take your responsibility about voting, whether it's today in your state or next week or anytime in August. And then, of course, November 7th, you have to vote and you got to do it intelligently. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio. American Family Radio.